Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Mark Michelson from Virginia Tech. This is in our series of this conversation. We're going to talk about persuasion. If you didn't check it out, make sure to listen to part one, which was on authenticity, kind of setting the framework, giving some background, talking about Mark's extensive experience in sales prior to going into teaching a few years ago and that transition for him and what he's bringing to the table. So I'm super excited now to talk about persuasion processes, actual more sales related stuff. So Mark, welcome to part two. Are you ready?
Ready to go.
All right. So let's dive into this. When I think of persuasion, I think of the like intentional part of selling, which is here is a potential customer. I want to figure out what it is they need, want, where they're at, what would help them get to a better place. And then I want to proactively help them get to that better place, either send them on their way and not sell them or help them buy from me and do that. So it's that process. If you look back at your career in the sales that you've done, the way that you've done sales, and then now in the teaching role, do you have a favorite sales process, a favorite sales system that you use, or how have you found success in the selling part of sales?
Asking a lot of questions. I think that can't be said enough, is you have to ask questions. You have to find out what keeps your customer up at night. What are their biggest fears? What are their wants? What are their needs? What are their desires? And then you have to ask the question, but more importantly, Jason, you have to listen. You have to actively listen to what's being said. And what I try to tell my students is, how many of them, when you're in a conversation and someone's talking to you, you're really not listening. You're already formulating your response. And they all raise their hand because we all do it. We're all guilty of it, right? So I said, you need to actively listen. Listen to what's being said. I say this in class. I'm giving you the answers to the test. You just have to listen to what I'm telling you. And the customer is giving you the answers to the test. They're telling you what they want. You just got to listen. Then you have to take the features of your product and show the customer how it benefits them by solving that need, by solving their problem. And that's how you do it. And it's not the heavy-handed sale. It's not coming on like a sledgehammer. It's building that relationship. It's getting to know the customer. It's building it up by asking the right questions, listening to what they're telling you, and then matching up the benefits of your product, features of your product, and how it benefits the customer by solving the need. That's the secret to sales, is matching features and showing them how it benefits by solving their need.
I had never thought about it the way that you just put it, which is definitely going to be a highlight for this section. But just like you said, when you're presenting, lecturing, teaching the class, you're giving them the answers to the tests because you're teaching them and then you're doing your test based on the things that were important and making sure they retain it. And the point of the test is just for retention so that there's value from it, right? To hold people accountable to make sure that they're in it. And the same thing is true with sales, right? If you're asking the right questions and good questions and listening, that person will tell you everything you need to know for the value, for how they want to be sold, what they want you to do, what they're looking for you as a professional. And then the key is to just listen and do that. That's so fascinating to think that if it's done right with the questions. Now, how do you help your students understand the asking questions part and then the active listening part? Those are two different things.
So two things. We have participate in our principles of professional sales class in a virtual sales competition, Rainmakers. And it's the closest thing they will ever get to an actual sales call without leaving the classroom. And believe it or not, Jason, they do it all on their phone. It's an AI bot with, they're given a case study and they have to learn all the features of their product. Then they have to come up with a script and ask questions and interact with the bot. And the bot will give them the answers to the test if you listen and you ask the right questions. If you don't ask the right questions, the bot will move on and basically end the meeting. So that's one way to do it. The second way is we role play in class. Again, I was in sales for 25 years and I hated role playing. Hated it with a passion, right? Show me a salesperson who loves to role play and I'll show you a unicorn, because they just don't like to do it. But we do it in class. And so I'll play the role of the buyer and they have to ask me questions. And it's all leading up, honestly, Jason, to their final project where they have to give a 12-minute sales presentation from the opening all the way through to the close, one-on-one with me as the buyer. And they have to come with questions. And based off of what I say, they have to ask follow-up questions or take it in a new direction. So it's all experiential, hands-on learning. And I can't give Rainmakers enough credit for preparing the students for an actual sales call.
Side note question, why do salespeople as a group dislike role-playing so much?
I just think they look at it like, I don't want to get up in front of my peers. And B, why do I have to role play? This is what I do for a living. It's that mindset of, I've been doing this for 20 years. I know how to sell. No, not really. I likened it when I played football. The worst day was when we had to review the game film, because the film doesn't lie. And the coach would, every little thing you did, he'd call you out in front of everybody, right? Yeah. And that's what role playing is. When you're doing it, you're not doing it to get embarrassed. You're not doing it to get yelled at or pointed out how you did something wrong. You're doing it to get better. You're doing it to practice. And that's the whole thing, is you're never too old, how to say, a veteran that you can't practice and put the time in to get better. You can always do better. You can always improve. You have to do that every single day. And I think that's why they just don't like to do that stuff.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because it's that mindset mode where, you know, somebody, there's either top performers who know that practice and learning and growth and development and always being open and curious is what has made them successful. And then there's the ones who just rely on pure talent, like an athlete who just has some natural God-given athleticism, yeah, but doesn't want to practice and doesn't want feedback. They will only get so far. They're really going to limit their ultimate kind of progression in sports. Same that salespeople do. Some I've met, they think they're truly amazing, and you're not, right? Like, you're just relying on talents.
Listen to them. They'll tell you how good they are. I have it on my whiteboard and I write about it in my book. Vince Lombardi once said, everybody has a will to win, but very few people have the will to prepare to win. And that's exactly what you just said. It's put the time, put the effort, practice, and make yourself better. Don't just show up and try to get by, because we're not talented enough to win on talent alone. Okay? It's only going to get you so far.
Yep. And it's true. And the big thing too, and this is, if there's any of your students listening or anyone in sales who's thinking, but I don't need to practice because I know what I'm doing and I'm really good at what I'm doing and I don't need more feedback. What I found is that person has learned how to sell the one thing that they're selling in the one industry to one group of customers really well. If that person, and right now it's early 2023, a lot of people are getting laid off, the economy is a mess, inflation, all these things, right? If somebody has to change careers, change companies, change industries, they're basically screwed. The stuff they know is not transferable because they are so focused on one thing.
And again, that's great. That's great that you can sell one thing. That's great that you've mastered that. But to your point, what happens tomorrow if you get that pink slip and you have to go someplace else?
And what happens, and this, again, this is for the future of sales. Obviously, that'll be the next part where we talk about the future of sales. But for any like early sales people or sales students listening or watching this, the thing is that just because you sell that widget really well, when you get laid off or you want to change or life happens and who you're married to decides to move states, yep, a way to get a different job and you have to go work for a different company, right? Something happens, then going to work for a new company, if you only think you're going to sell the way you've always sold and do what you've always done, that new company, it's not going to work, because everyone has their own way, their own style, their own CRM, their own process, and it literally will not transfer. And then you will be changing jobs every 12 months because your thing will not fit in with any company.
You got to be willing to learn and practice every day, because you got to be better today than you were yesterday. And it's continuous improvement. That's all it is. It's a constant. You always have to be learning. You always have to be trying to better yourself and to prepare yourself to win.
Yeah. So when I think of persuading, one of the parts when you look at words and definitions is that persuading doesn't have a positive or negative result, right? You can use it for good or for evil, just like pretty much anything, but it's not inherently in there. A lot of people hear persuading and they think, oh, that's just pushing people into it. Again, going back to what we spoke about in the first episode, where people inherently think of sales, especially younger generation who's not aware of sales, they think everything is used car sales or some kind of commodity. Where do you see that line, and where do you help the students understand the difference between persuading and manipulating people?
So that actually comes in, we talk about ethics. And when I say we're going to talk about the world of ethics and sales, and they all like, isn't that an oxymoron? Because aren't salespeople unethical? And I said, some are, absolutely. And I said, but there's a fine line that you have to walk. And you have to trust your moral compass, and you have to trust your judgment. We role play. And I say, this is how I want you to phrase it this time. Persuade me, right? And then now do the same thing, but change these words so it sounds like you're manipulating me, or quote unquote, you're holding something over me that's forcing me to do something. And I say, it's very simple. You just change a few words. And I say, do you see how easy it is to go from persuading to manipulating? And they're like, wow, I never realized that. And I said, you all do it. You all persuade. And at some point in your lives, you've manipulated. And I said, it happens. And you have to take a step back and realize what you're saying and how you're saying it. And almost listen to the words you're saying. And it's amazing that when this happens, the proverbial light bulb goes off in their head. And then they start getting it. And then they say, can we do another one? I want to try another one. Can I do another one? And I'm like, yeah, because they love to see. And it's now it's okay. I want to do it again. I want to do it again. Because now they're getting confident. Now they're starting to believe. Now they're starting to get it. And it's okay, let's go, because they enjoy persuading somebody, right? Then they have fun being that master manipulator, right? And because it's all for fun, but they understand where the line is drawn and what is right and what is wrong. And it's the only way I know how to do it is let them learn it. Let them do it. Let them do it and talk about it after.
And I think a lot of it is that most people go through life and conversations on autopilot, right? Like we can't think about literally everything that we do and say. We would just get overwhelmed with the whole world, right? So a lot of it is the unconscious just going through, and we talk and we say things. If you ever pause to listen to yourself while you're talking and saying words, it's like a weird experience. You're like, it's too much. And so I think what you're talking about is raising that awareness and get somebody to be conscious of, okay, when I say this or I say this, instead of just being on autopilot. I think there's a lot of people who use things like manipulation or tricks and tactics and the things that make sales gross. They're just doing it on autopilot. Some of them aren't even thinking about it. They don't even realize what they're doing because they're just doing it. And then there's the intention behind it. Yeah. Then on the surface is the autopilot.
Words have power. And to your point, your mother, Jason, does not like those type of salespeople. And I don't think any of us like that. And I think that's the problem where, you know, the young adults going into sales don't understand that, they don't understand where this negative connotation comes from. And it's from those type of people that use the manipulation, use the tricks, use the schemes to get you to say yes, or to the different fear tactics, or however you want to sell it. And to, it's like the days of you got to make a sale no matter what, it's long gone. You can't do that anymore. But Jason, you and I both know it still happens.
It's still out there. So final question on this part for persuasion is on the buyer side. So what do you think the biggest challenge is in this day and age, let's say even versus what, you know, when you started in sales, but right now, what's the biggest challenge in getting people to buy, right? Assuming it's the right person, it's the right solution, but getting them to buy, and or what gets in the way of people wanting to buy from a salesperson?
So the biggest difference between when I first started and now is the internet. The buyer has all the information they need before you even walk in the door. It's just one click away. They know the specs of your product. They know everything they need to know, right? Basically, it's, I just need to know your price. But sometimes they can even get that online, right? So I think it comes down to today's day and age, the biggest challenge to persuade or to convince the buyer is very simple. It's earning their trust. It's the hardest thing to do, Jason, is earn somebody's trust. But when you do, you can make sure, you can take it to the bank that they will be a very loyal customer, but you got to earn it. Everything in life is earned. Nothing is ever given to you. And you need to earn somebody's trust. And you need to basically find out what they're looking for. Why? Okay, yes, you know all about my product. I could do this and this. Because just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's all true. Okay. So it's ask the questions and don't get confrontational with them. Say, hey, I'm glad that you did your research. I'm glad that you prepared because I think that's great. I think that's going to be make it a much more meaningful conversation on the sales call. And then you just talk to them. And again, ask questions. Find out what they know. Point out what they don't know. Point out the things that aren't on the internet. Point out the things that aren't true. And start building that trust by being authentic, going back to authentic. And then slowly, gradually build up to that point where you're going to persuade them. You're going to sell them. Because guess what? Every minute of every sales call, you're persuading them at some point. You persuaded them to take the meeting. You persuaded them to give you an audience. So you've already won. Okay. You've already got your foot in the door. Now just keep going down that path because you have a meeting. So you've done something to get their attention. The meeting is going more than 5 minutes. So you have their attention. So just keep going. Be authentic. Keep asking questions. Keep listening. Keep discovering. What are the holes in the floor? What keeps them up at night? Show value. The more value that you can bring, the more value that you can show, persuasion is just going to come right along with it.
I love it. It's so true. And especially because one of the things we spoke about was basically everything in life is sales at some level, right? Like no matter what you're talking about and doing. And then most of what you just said in the last minute, it's really relationships. It's if you take those things, if you take out the parts minus the holes in the floor and finding what keeps them up at night, if you want to build a relationship with someone or there's someone you might be interested in, maybe in a dating way, ask lots of questions, be curious, active listening, build trust before you try to persuade. If it lasts more than 5 minutes, just keep asking questions. It's all the same things. And that's where a lot of people, like, again, this is to your students, to future salespeople, people in sales that are struggling, is think of what you would do if you're starting a conversation with somebody that you actually wanted to get to know and see if there was a connection. That's what you're talking about sales, except a different process at the end.
It's the art of asking questions. Again, Jason, I'll go back to it. Sales isn't selling a product. Okay. That's the easy part. I tell my students, a rhesus monkey could sell a product, right? It's all about building a relationship. That's the heavy lifting. You build the relationship, you earn the trust, the sale's going to come. The product's going to sell itself. You have to build that relationship and earn that trust. And that's where the persuasion comes in, is building, strengthening that relationship.
And for anyone out there watching or listening to this, and you're in sales, getting into sales, maybe you're running sales teams. So many people get into sales and all the company teaches them about the product. People become product experts. I see it all the time when I speak to a company and they're like, well, have you ever sold insurance? Have you ever sold this? You can't help us because you don't know our products. Like, your product doesn't mean anything. Like, at the end of the day, if I have to teach you what your product is, you have a serious problem. You're already an expert at your product. What you want to get better at is the human side, right? Yeah. If you're in a sales role, just be careful, because a lot of people think they should be amazing at sales because they really know their product. But that's, like you said, once you get to a certain point, the product is just the easy part, right? Now we're just talking, here's the prescription, here you go. And now the rest is paperwork.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point.
I love it. Let's finish this part, end of section 2 for persuasion. Mark, thank you again for coming on. For anyone who wants to reach out to you, it's going to be in the show notes, but you're on LinkedIn. Also, if people want to check out the program, it's vt.edu for Virginia Tech.
Brooklyn College of Business, and even you just Google the Virginia Tech sales program and you'll find it.
Perfect. And we'll have this in the show notes with all of those details. Again, Mark, thank you for coming on and sharing this. And I'm super excited for part 3, where we're going to talk about the future of sales. Thank you for being here. And again, as I always close out, I appreciate you for listening to this, being a part of this, hopefully getting something, seeing how the persuasion side is different than manipulation, seeing how having a process, seeing how, you know, the things like asking questions and being open, active listening, it's really the difference maker, because what we're talking about is human to human and what it takes to build relationships. And Mark said, is to get to the point where somebody trusts you enough to listen to what you want to give them as the best suggestion for leaving them in a better place. Hopefully this helps you change your part in what you're doing in sales and keep it from being a dirty word. And until next time, make sure to check out part 3. We're going to talk about that next. But until then, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.